This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Spotlight on eWomen, the place for everything eWomen Network. Entrepreneur, enterprising, enlightening, and exciting. Please welcome your eWomen host, Phyllis Smith.
Yes, hello, and welcome to Spotlight on eWomen Network, and I am Phyllis Smith. So searching for a job, as we all have experienced this at one time, is never easy. And in today's world of light speed information and applications that help companies weed out resumes, it's even harder. And for those of you looking for a new job or even a career, here's some eye-opening statistics for you. According to interviewsuccessformula.com, about 80% of available jobs are never advertised. 80%. The average number of people who apply for any given job is about 118, but only 20% of those get an interview. So it sounds scary and disappointing, I imagine, but have no fear. My guest today specializes in helping job seekers position themselves so they can stand out among the flock. She is an engineer turned certified coach who is now known as America's premier engineers coach, who takes the job search a step further. She helps engineers rediscover their true passion and channel that into new careers. So please welcome Terry Suffredini.
Hey, Phyllis. It's nice to be here. Hey, Thank you for having me on the show.
I'm so glad to have you. So we're going to look at both job search and new career developing today. But first, I want to tackle the job search, which we know can be daunting. First thing, that statistic I threw out that, average number of people who apply for any given job is 118. Only 20% of those get an interview. What do you say to that?
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, because for the average number, that 118 is an average number. There can be hundreds of people applying for some of these jobs. But the interesting thing about that is that's for the jobs that are posted. And with that statistic being that 80% of available jobs are never, you're not going to find them anywhere online, the story is a little different, because in that case, those jobs, there's often no one applying for the job, or you're the only person applying. At most, there might be a handful. So that's a much different process.
And in a little bit, we're going to actually go into how you can use some good detective work to find those hidden jobs. But first, I want to talk to you about you a little bit. You focus your life and career coaching engineers. So why engineers?
Well, because somebody has to. We're considered an odd bunch. Actually, it's because while I enjoy coaching and the techniques and the things that I teach work for everyone, I focus on engineers since I am one. I speak the language, and many times engineers are comfortable talking with someone who does understand where they're coming from. So that's why I have made that my main niche.
And when you say they have a kind of language, what do you mean exactly? Because there are so many different types of engineers. Are you kind of implying that you all kind of have this same right brain, left brain kind of thing going on?
Yes, predominantly left brain for the average engineer. The technical terminology, just a different analytical approach to things, where you got to have a lot of data. You can't, anything that sounds a little too woo-woo, is the technical term that I use, can turn off a lot of engineers.
So you have to be particularly careful.
Yes, and a lot of my clients are men as well. So, they want the data. They want to get in there, get things done, and then, get back on with what they've got to do. And that's kind of my approach. I like to, keep things moving along, not waste people's time.
And that I could see an engineer saying, just the facts, ma'am, let's go, you know, bullet points, get right to it. Actually, I'm not an engineer, but I'm like that, too. I like, you know, just get to the story already, you know?
Right, right. We don't have the corner on that market, actually, but we have the reputation for it. Accountants, attorneys, and others are the same way, but engineers are known for it.
Now, you've been quoted in the media saying, these days, a successful job search requires that one be both a savvy detective and a great marketer. A detective, so you can unearth the openings that are never posted anywhere, and a marketer to easily demonstrate why you and only you are uniquely qualified for the position you desire. So tell us what you mean by that. So when you talk about detective work, how do you find those hidden jobs?
Well, it's a multi-pronged approach, as you would imagine. Unfortunately, for a lot of people who are more introverted, it does come down to networking in a big way. But there's different ways to network. You can network live at various functions around where people who might be hiring would be hanging out. I know there's a lot of in Houston where I live, there's some good job ministries around that are helping people. But after a while, those aren't good places to hang out because you're hanging out with other people who are looking for jobs. You want to be hanging out predominantly at places where employed people are hanging out. But then the other way of finding the job oftentimes is through LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a fabulous source. But that requires you to spend a little time or maybe a lot of time researching people there. You've got to make sure that your profile is properly put together so that you attract the people that are going to be having the kind of jobs you want. You need to join groups. But there's some techniques and tricks involved in using LinkedIn, but you can also use LinkedIn to reach out to people who might be in an industry that you're interested in. And doing that can get some very interesting results. I've had clients use that with great effect. So those are a couple of the areas doing it. Another great way is through volunteer work. I got to throw that one out there because you never know. Good-hearted people are usually out volunteering, and they're always willing to help people who are looking. So I found a contact that helped me make a job transition several years back through volunteer work that I was doing. So I highly recommend that as well.
Yeah, that's actually a great idea. And then you get known, and when you do volunteer work, that also gives you some good cred. I mean, you know, that somebody wants to hire somebody who's, you know, has that giving spirit, that serving spirit.
Right. And not only that, but it helps you when you're in the middle of a job search. If you've been searching for a while and you're getting discouraged, the fact that you're getting out of yourself, reaching out to help other people does make you feel better in the process as well. So there's multiple advantages to volunteer work, not just when you're doing job search, but if you are in the middle of job search, for sure.
Well, since you do, you know, primarily work with engineers, are there a dearth of jobs for engineers in like a particular area? I mean, there's so many types. There's mechanical, there's chemical. I mean, I mean, you know, many types. What are you seeing out there in the job world in terms of the engineer?
Well, in general, at least in the South, in the Houston area where I'm at, which is known for having a lot of jobs for engineers, the market is down. That's the facts right now. But there are still jobs out there. And sometimes it means the jobs might be in a different area where you could still use your skill set if you know how to market it properly. For example, I was just talking to someone the other day who's from the Greater Houston Partnership, which is kind of the Houston Better Business Bureau. Not Better Business Bureau, but the Chamber of Commerce. And he was saying that they're still creating two jobs for every one that they're able to fill. At the height of the market, they're creating seven for every one. So there's still jobs being created. A lot of them happen to be in the healthcare industry. But a typical engineer has skill sets that are transferable if you know how to market yourself for that.
Well, let's get into that, because you also say that marketing is an integral part of the job search, you know. So what are some of the most important things job seekers can do right now to help market themselves? You did say on LinkedIn, but it's, you know, marketing is also branding yourself. I mean, you have to come across, you know, in a way that makes you approachable and likable and trustworthy. So, you know, let's talk about how important marketing is, and what are some tips that you can offer so people can market and themselves, you know, and get those jobs or at least get those interviews.
Right, right. Well, one of the things I will get back saying about LinkedIn is you need to have a good profile on LinkedIn with a nice professional picture. No pictures of hanging out in a bar or, you know, with your kids or anything like that. That's for Facebook, not LinkedIn. It needs to be professional because people will go and look there. But beyond that, you've got your resume. But before you even do a resume, I always ask my clients to put together a list of their accomplishments. You need to know what you have done and what the value is of each of those things that you have done. And some of that, those accomplishments don't all have to be work-related. They can be outside of work, as long as they demonstrate your skill sets. But you want to show what you did and what the value was. So I did X project resulting in Y results. You know, the dollars, the dollars that were saved, or the dollars that were earned, or the percent increase in value, or the percent decrease in employee turnover, or something along those lines. So you make a list of all of those first, and then you pick the best of those to put on your resume. Only about four of those, maybe five. But that's the thing with your resume, is that goes near the very top. Your resume has to grab the viewer's attention within the first 6 seconds. And what they do is they look at the top third to half of the resume, and then they'll circle around to the bottom and look at what your education is, what degree you have. And then they decide if they're going to read anything more. But most people don't realize that. And there's a lot of other tips about doing a resume. I'm going to throw it in right now. On my website, I have a free giveaway called the 11 Advanced Resume Writing Strategies That Get Results. If you want to go to, if you, listeners want to go to www.theengineerscoach.com, they can get a copy of that. It's right there on that page, first page.
So it's interesting then. So 6 seconds. And then, and now I imagine this is particularly for engineers, that they, that if they're hiring an engineer, they do want to know their education. So you're saying they start at the top, 6 seconds, what is impressive? So that would basically be their accomplishments, top highlights, and then they go to the bottom to see what their education is. I think that's really fascinating. Are they looking for, like, what university they went to, or how many years, or how many letters they have next to their name?
They're mainly looking to see what kind of degree you have and from where. And by the way, when you do that, you don't have to put the date. Unless you're a brand new graduate, the date really doesn't matter. It's just a matter that it only matters that you have that degree. But when I say 6 seconds, that may be the total time they glance at a resume. They're going to decide within the first third to half of the first page, if it's multiple pages, whether they're going to read any further. So you've got to grab their attention. You know, in journalism, they call it, they say, don't bury the lead. And a lot of people do that. They put so much information in the resume, they lose the viewer, and the viewer just, it's too hard to read, and so they put it aside and go to the next one. You don't want them to do that. You want to grab their attention right there at the very beginning.
You know, and it's also, I hear an ad on the radio all the time for, there's an app for everything, right? There's an app for that. And now businesses are using these apps to weed out resumes. So, you know, and I guess that's always been the way. You always had to get through human resources first, you know, but now they have actually, you know, a database weeding out what they want and what they don't want.
And there's a lot of tricks. When you're applying online, you know, as most applicants now have to submit them online, there's a lot of things you need to know. Like, don't put in borderlines, because sometimes those are read as page breaks. And if the software is set to only read the first page, and you've got a borderline under your name, then you've got a blank resume as far as that system is concerned.
Oh, so my goodness, that is a good tip.
You have to know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
Now, listen, we're going to have to take a short break. We can go on and on and on about this for certain. When we come back, I do want to get into just a little bit of the networking, because networking can also be applied to both people looking for jobs and looking to change their careers. So stand by, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen. Here's your host, Phyllis Smith.
And welcome back. My goodness, I think we can go on with my guest, Terry Seffredini, forever, where she just threw out some fabulous tips on just, we're talking about job search, and she helps people find the hidden job, find those nuggets that aren't listed. A lot of that has to do with, part of that is networking. So networking is very tricky. As you know, our eWomen Network's founder and CEO, Sandra Yancey, that's her expertise. That's how she founded eWomen Network, was because she wanted to find a place where more women could network with each other. You mentioned actually in the first segment, you know, if you're kind of shy, if you're an introvert, that could be really, really hard. So what are some tips you might want to offer? And folks, this is for the job seeker and the career changer as well, somebody who's ready to change their careers.
Right, right. These tips apply to everyone. The number one thing that I tell people about networking is to take the focus off of themselves. That when you turn the focus to helping other people, how can I help this person that I am meeting in this event, wherever I'm at? What is their need, or what are their needs? As soon as you start taking that approach, you find that networking gets to be a lot easier, because we all hate to be on the receiving end of things. We kind of feel guilty or unworthy or whatever it is in going on. But if we focus on the others, then it becomes a lot easier. And then they naturally want to turn around and help you. Generally, they're not always going to, but even if they don't, it's okay. Somebody else will. So having that mentality of reaching out and helping other people takes a lot of the pressure off. And I think it's Zig Ziglar who said that you can get everything you want in life by helping enough people get what they want. So it's amazing. Reciprocity works really well in networking. So that's the number one thing that I tell people. And if they don't know what to say, you can prepare a list of questions ahead of time that you can kind of have in your back pocket that you can use as conversation starters. So some people are kind of tongue-tied. They don't know what to say. Have a list of 4 or 5 questions that you can use. Get people started talking about themselves. People always love to talk about themselves, you know?
Yeah.
You can sit there and listen for hours. If you get somebody else going, you don't have to say hardly a thing.
And, you know, I always say, I mean, having spent many, many years in television and radio as a producer, a reporter, you know, I am basically curious. I think everybody, I don't think I know it, everybody has a story. And so all you have to do is just be curious and then listen. And those are the two things. Just ask the question and listen. And from your listening and your curiosity mentality, you'll have another question to ask, because you're just become interested in that person. So I think that's
And then
that's,
they tend to start doing the same thing. You know, you ask them enough questions at some point. Most people, not everybody, but most people turn and look, well, hey, what about you? And then you have the opportunity to tell them, you know, whatever's appropriate to tell them at that time.
And of course, there's always that those people who don't give a you know what about you. So because this is a networking experience, number one, that you could just, if they are not interested in you, you know, then you can move on and find somebody else, or you interject. Yeah. Or you say, or you something where you might relate to that person so that you can then, you know, get them thinking as well. But I think you're absolutely right. Go with a mentality of serving others. Be other focused, and you know, and whatever happens, I would say also don't you agree that it's not the end result. It's not walking away with, you know, this many business cards, and it's not even about the business cards, right? It's really walking away with, think of it, you're in the moment, you're mindful of the moment, you're going to enjoy yourself and just learn about other people.
Right. Right. And sometimes the benefits to you can come immediately or they can come later. But regardless, go in it with the right attitude and you will eventually get the results that you need, what you want and what you need. It
now,
really
Carrie,
does work.
You were you are an engineer, and you took the leap of faith. Well, tell us, you know, the highlights of that journey for you when you decided to change your career. Just, you know, how did that happen? How did you get the courage to do what you're doing now?
Well, part of it is I have lived through the pain of being in the wrong kind of job for many, many years, and I know the impacts that that has. About 10 years or so ago, I got trained as a coach and then was doing that more or less on the side for all this time. And then the last year or so, I decided it was time to focus on either the engineering that I was doing full-time or to do the coaching full-time. And I decided that for me, I really enjoy helping people, and I've learned so many things over the years that I think can be a benefit, that I wanted to do the coaching. For me was the thing that I wanted to do. And also because to not do the coaching would be to let fear get in the way, to take the easy way. You know, you've got that steady job with the steady paycheck. You know, it's kind of like the next challenge in life to take, to go ahead and take the leap of faith and go ahead and go out and do something new that I haven't done before and learn.
And
keeps
you
young.
Yeah, it's true. Always, you know, always, there's always something else. You know, there's always something else. I always feel the same way. I there is never a vacuum in my life. There's always something that I'm filling it with.
Boredom? What's that?
What is that? I know. It does keep you young and exciting and makes life exciting. So you're one of our celebrity science clients because just like you just said, in the last year or so, you decided to take the leap of faith and go all the way. And the Celebrity Science Program is about branding and marketing yourself for your new career. How important is that for you, and what do you say to others in terms of the career? We talked earlier about marketing yourself. What difference has it made for you, and then how you then will take this experience and teach your clients?
Well, it's extremely important because branding and marketing, or branding portion in particular, is what will give you credibility or take it away if you don't do the branding properly. So especially with the clients that I'm going to have, or that I do have, engineers who can be kind of a hard sell when it comes to this type of work, you've got to come across as somebody who knows what they're doing and is serious. I don't mean serious in terms of you never crack a smile. I mean that you're credible. You've got, you know, experience behind you. So that's what the branding does for me. And then the marketing portion is, you know, my clients are all around everywhere. Even if I'm just focusing on engineers, and as I think I mentioned before, everything I do can be applied to everybody that wants to or have some different experiences in their careers. But it's a matter of reaching out, how to effectively reach out and get the attention of your potential clients and get them to come to you. And that's that's the marketing piece. And it's the same thing with, like we're talking about the job search earlier. You've got to get people's attention. Why should they talk to you? Why would they want to hire you over somebody else? You've got to be able to show them.
Yeah, and I think it's important, you know, since you have people all over, you know, it's a global community out there for particularly for what you do for coaching. And look at your website, theengineerscoach.com, and, you know, those photographs of you there, the whole image of you has changed considerably since you went through the program.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, just, you know, the beautiful, like you said earlier, have a professionally done photograph of yourself on LinkedIn. It's
right.
So important, you know, whether you're an engineer or whoever you are, if you're changing careers or looking for a job, that website, that's your storefront. And
right.
People, that's their first look at who you are. And you know, they'll look at the picture and say, oh, that person looks friendly. And then they'll move on. You know, I mean, seriously, it's kind of like starting a relationship, you know, on a blind date.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yes. Yes. You got to give them a reason to want to go further. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, one other thing, and we're going to run out of time here shortly. I want to bring up the sales piece. Sales is something you either love or hate, and it's a vital part of your business, and selling yourself can be really hard. I know for me years ago, I had the hardest time. I mean, I'm pretty outgoing, as you can imagine, but I was the worst when it came to interviews. I had no idea how to ask for money. I always felt like such an idiot when I was in those interviews. You know, I was too honest. You want me to write? No, I can't write, but I'll learn. You know, that was me. So tell us about help people who are in either the job search or in the changing careers, wanting to change careers, how important sales is in terms of yourself, and some tips, at least one that they can take with them now in terms of being able to sell themselves.
Well, again, I think sales, as I am now understanding it in the last few years, is about helping other people. Sales has a bad connotation for a lot of people from years past, you know, that you're trying to talk the snake oil salesman that tries to talk people into getting things that they don't need. But sales is really about seeing what people need and being able to provide that for them. So when you come at it again, it's just like we were talking about before, with the networking, if you come at the attitude, how can I help you? How can I be of service? Is what I have going to be of use to you? And if it is, then great. I want to help you if you think it's going to be a mutual fit. If it's not, well, then here, maybe there's somebody else that can help you, or I can steer you in another direction that would be better for you. So you take that attitude toward the sales. But also being in a place of being real and being open and being almost vulnerable, being willing to share and come from your heart makes a big difference, too. It's not all out of, you know, from your head, and that's something that I've had to learn. I'm a much more of a people person in many ways, although I am also still an introvert by definition. But learning to come from my heart when I'm trying to express some things, as opposed to coming just straight out of my head and thinking everything through, that makes a huge difference in sales. And it makes you more real and more relatable to people.
And for engineers, for example, I mean, I could just tell you as a creative that, you know, when I'm working in the radio business, that there was always this battle between the salespeople and the people on the air. You know, it's like, don't tell me that I have to add more commercials to my show, you know, but you don't can't have it. You know, radio is free. You can't have, you know, a radio station unless you have commercials, unless you have people paying for advertising. And there's always this battle. And I imagine it's particularly, and I start, excuse me for stereotyping, but engineers, you know, these are a smart bunch, and they, you know, they're, I would imagine that they're in their head, and that the idea of, you know, having, if they do go into their own business and take their skills and create their own business as you have, you know, you do have to sell. That's a tricky thing to do. But I think what you're saying is if you just be yourself and be in a position of serving and how can I help you? That's really the key. Be other focused. And I have one more question for you as we part here. For the job seeker and the person who's changing careers, it could be really overwhelming, and frightening and we all can get there where we want to throw in the towel. What would you say to people to keep them motivated, to both the job seekers and the people who are, looking to change their career?
Well, one thing I would say first is, follow your dream. If you have a desire to do something, there's probably a good reason for it. So you need to explore that. And then the other thing I would say, there's probably a lot of things I could say, but sometimes you need help with that. And I needed help. I got help years ago when I was just stuck and just didn't know what to do. So that's the kind of thing that I love helping people with. Again, because I've been through it, I know what it's like. I know the impacts, and I know the fun and the joy that can come from doing something that you really do like to do and that you're really cut out for. I think the whole world benefits when we're all using all of our talents to their best. So I'm available. I offer if somebody is interested in learning a little bit more about that and want to experience a little bit about what coaching is like, I do offer a complimentary career strategy session. If you're interested in looking into that, you can just shoot me an email at Terry, and that's T-E-R-R-Y, @theengineerscoach.com. And then I'll contact you and see what we can set up a time.
Right. And you also, your website, as I said earlier, The Engineers Coach, that's a plural engineers, theengineerscoach.com. And I know you have a gift there that is all about creating a resume.
11 advanced resume writing strategies that get results. And then I mentioned one or two of those earlier, but some of those are surprising to a lot of people. So you might want to get a copy of that. I intentionally made it easy to read, but there's a lot of great tips there.
Right. And you know what? There are people who have been in jobs for a very long time and they don't remember how to write a resume. So that's actually a really great 11 tips. So go there, theengineerscoach.com. Terry Seffredini, thank you so much for joining us today. Until next time.
Thank you.
Time's up for now. If you want more enlightening conversations that could change your life, visit EWNRadioNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.